Hi, this is Jacqueline Sanders Blackman with another episode of our podcast to focus on ways of working. And let's start with the irony of that topic to begin with. Why do we have to talk about frameworks and lock down what framework we're using? Why can't a group of people, a group of professionals, just come together and start working and just see what happens? And it sounds nice, and there is the flexibility within Agile for teams to feel and be empowered and to kind of determine some of their direction and their way of working, more so than any other framework. But the reality is it's called a framework because there has to be certain pillars, certain columns there in order for you to hang everything else off of. There's certain things that we have to agree to. And the second piece has to do with is that it makes sure that there are longer term considerations taken other than just focusing on the here and now. When you have a group of people and you talk to them about their way of working, there's immediately going to be some selfishness built into that. This is the way I like to work, you know, and before you know it, if you've got two or more people, you're immediately going to see that there's a difference in what people's preferences are. And there has to be some things that bring us to a middle ground, and also using supporting evidence, using history to help to make sure that those conversations, we just don't find ourselves repeating history over and over. And I myself, you know, I look at a 30-year span in the IT software development industry. I've seen enough that I've seen the repetition, the same mistakes being made over and over, probably every 10 years. I just watch it play out. And partly because I've just always looked at processes and like to see how things flow and try to understand them. So I've always been a student and an observer of those types of things. Other people may have worked in the industry for 30 years and not readily recognize those because it's just not something that you've paid a lot of attention to, but I have. And to just kind of encapsulate all that I'm saying here and this leading up to this topic is a quote, and I don't know exactly who to give credit to this quote. I think it's been around for quite some time, but it says, if you don't have an approach, days turn into weeks, weeks turn into months, months turn into years, and before you know it, you're looking back saying, I should have had a plan. I should have had an approach. I should have been intentional about the way I went about and how I worked. Now, that's both on an individual level. You can think about that even about some of your personal goals and objectives. But imagine when you bring together different people with different styles. And when it comes down to different styles, one of the things that I like teams to do when they're initially norming is some of the different, whether it's personality or work style profiles. And not that I think that they are the end all or that they're perfect, but it does immediately show you that for every different combination, you know, some of them are DISC or Myers-Briggs, if you've done that, or and there's many others, but all of those for me are just an initial way for us to see how different we all can be. and to have a conversation about how we take our differences in our styles and use them to create a stronger collective group that can accomplish so much more. So I say all that to say, and the thing that I want to leave you with in this particular episode is the reason to put Agile on the table is to start a conversation and using Agile to really kind of create part of that agenda for the different parts of that conversation. If I right now took 4 hardworking people and put them in the room and say, hey, talk about how you all want to work together. Let's say I pulled in a UX designer, a developer, a tester, and maybe someone, you know, project management or product management. And I set them to the table. Say, how do you want to work together? Well, we might be all over the table with what type of topics would come out. And they'd find themselves spinning and swirling, and a lot would just be trial and error. And that's all well and great and good. But when you also have expectations from the moment this team or group gets created, there's already expectations, you know, hanging over them to get something done in a period of time, usually. And so the luxury of just rambling through and trial and error, it's costly, it's painful. And at this point in time, because we have so much empirical data and so many examples, it's just quite frankly, it's a waste of everyone's time. So let's fast forward, and if nothing else, use Agile as the agenda to build your agenda. These are the things that we need to talk about to kind of baseline our way of working. Groups that I work with, we call that your team norms or your team working agreement. And we look at the 5 pillars of the Agile ceremonies, just as a starting point. 4 conversations. How do we check in on a daily basis? How do we plan the work for a given cadence? How do we replenish the work we're going to work on and make sure that it's ready to be worked on? It's not just a raw idea. It really has some value that we've identified, and it's prioritized over the other work that we could potentially work on. How do we confirm delivery of our body of work over a particular cadence? And then lastly, how do we look at what we were able to do and do well, and also to be honest about what wasn't or didn't work out well that we have room to grow and improve. And so what I just described there are the 5 Agile ceremonies, but the conversation leading into each of those. And then along with those, and this is where probably the breakdown happens, is people don't actually then go and look at the 12 Agile principles. There's 12 Agile principles. There's the manifesto, there are the ceremonies, and then there are the principles. All 3 of those are contributors to to topics. Take each one at a time, and from that, build out your working agreement or your team norms. Now, so let me just give you the 12 Agile principles, not in the form of principles, but in the form of topics for conversations for you as a team to talk through and see, do you have concrete action items, actionable items, measurable items that you can put in your working agreement. And then when you're doing your retrospectives, go back and see which one of those are working well and which aren't. And so your retrospective in itself, you have an agenda that you can go back to, because what you're reflecting on or taking a retro look at is that working agreement. So there's 12 agile principles. And so what those topics include is 1, how do we measure that we are satisfying our customer? What are the metrics, the infamous KPIs or OKRs? It's ironic where I see people, there's a whole conversation about KPIs and OKRs, but my statement on that is, if you can't meet the KPIs, replacing them with OKRs will further guarantee you won't meet those either. But that's the podcast for another day. But right out of the bat, identifying as a team, how do we measure customer satisfaction? And make sure that the customer buys into your approach to measuring their satisfaction. Also, how do we incorporate and manage change? What's our intake process for making sure that we're open to change, but not in a way that is just causing constant chaos? So how are we going to do that as a team? 3, delivery cadence. And there's a big difference between building on a particular cadence and then delivery on a cadence. How do we convert our build cadence into when we determine it's ready to be delivered or released? What does that look like? How do we work together? That's a big one. And that's 4. How do we work together? And then we can put it in parentheses, in a hybrid in-person / work from home environment. There's one thing that is pretty certain based on the job market and the outlook for, I'd say, at least the next 2 years, is that we don't have a full-time workforce that is working in the office face-to-face like it was pre-2020. So the way of working, even during the pandemic, is very different than what a sustained working from home agreement looks like. And I think that many, many, many teams are running into new frustrations because they haven't stopped to recalibrate, that we're no longer in full quarantine. And so now we're in a new hybrid way of working. And for many who can't wait to get back in the office, they want to get back to the office, and they feel much more productive in the office. How does that work for those who have settled in their mind that working from home, it brings out the best in them? That's a conversation that needs to be intentional and needs to be had by a lot of teams and organizations versus let's just either wait till it gets to the boiling point or point to and blame everything else except for what's really at the root cause of it all. We're out of quarantine, and now people are expressing whether they feel passionate about staying home or they feel passionate about going back in the office. And oftentimes, there's a source of conflict, an avenue for misunderstanding, because it's just two different ways of working. Let's talk about 5. Let's talk about trust and support. We know we all want it and we need it as a team, but how do we show it? How do we express it? And how do we raise the flag when there are events or activity that erodes trust in support within the team? That's a big one. That's a podcast in itself. So possibly stay tuned. That'll be coming up soon. Number six, having face-to-face conversations, which piggybacks on working together. How do we have face-to-face conversations, passionate conversations, where it's not just us conveying data, but as actually conveying feelings, things, even ideals? How do we do that, especially in a hybrid world? When do we do that? How often do we do that? I feel that too often the card of people saying we have too many meetings gets used, and next thing I know, people start canceling meetings. But if those meetings are productive and providing value, are we being prudent about cutting those meetings? I have one team that I worked with that made a rule that meetings should be about 30 minutes. Anything we need to talk about needs to be about 30 minutes. Well, when you have to have 10 30-minute meetings over the course of a week to really get to the heart of one topic, then I had to say to myself, could we have, instead of the turning it on and off 10 different times, could a two-hour, well-planned, well-organized, and well-facilitated meeting have accomplished this? So it's not so much too many meetings, but too many wasteful meetings versus productive meetings. Something to think about. And how do we identify that? Not just by how much time you spent, but how you organize and make sure that those, any conversation / meeting is productive. What are those rules? Number seven, how do we confirm and measure progress, working software, quality, and not just that we met the requirements, but we addressed a need. We delivered value. That's a conversation to be had. Number eight, sustainable. Our way of working that is sustainable. Predictable. I don't want to not put predictable in that topic as well, because there's someone looking at the long game and making commitments over time. And so they've got to know what is the team or the team of teams capable, capability, capacity. So how do we define that? Continuous attention. How do we not just, and more than anything, is quality of design, quality of user experience. Number 10, simplicity. How do we not overcomplicate things? Number 11, how do we set up a framework, define the rules, avoid making the same mistakes, and yet make sure that the team feels like they have a say, that they are players and not pawns? Number 12, how do we reflect and adjust in a way that can, that allows people to be honest, allows them to be true to themselves, but also does it in a professional, a polite, and a productive way? Now, if you can take all of that and ask the team to take those topics, to make sure that everyone has the opportunity to be heard. And then by the time you finish with that list, start over again, reflect, use them, apply them, and then continue to tweak them. You'll see that it's not just a one and done process. This is the foundation and the agenda of a continuous improvement environment. So I hope these topics and ideas and conversations about way of working and some of the proven techniques of Agile will help you to make them your own. Thanks for listening. This is Jacqueline Sanders Blackman with Technology Espresso. Continue to follow us and share them with your friends. Thanks. Bye.